Have you ever been in a store, grocery store, or anywhere in public and watched a child throw a full-on tantrum? What are the first thoughts that come to your mind? Now, whether you're a parent or not, you're going to have a reaction. I know from experience, parents will be like, oh, thank God that's not my child, right? We're going to talk about how do we handle this as a parent when you are in public. That's going to be our topic today. For those who don't know me, my name is Danielle C. Baker. I am the founder and CEO of Being Connected, and I am an early childhood educator, registered early childhood educator. I have 20 years experience in the field, and I specialize in effective and value-based parenting. So I help parents navigate their realities in figuring out what their role as a parent is. Now, don't get it twisted. When you work with me, we're going to be putting your child's needs first. So put your pride and your ego aside and let's get to it. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started on today's topic, be sure to like, follow, subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And of course, with season two, this episode is brought to you by the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy with the amazing, beautiful, wonderful Dr. Simone Alicia, who has a wealth of resources on her online platform that can help with your child's self-esteem, their confidence. There's a lot of free resources, a lot of workshops, and so much that can work for children, teenagers, or even adults. I use it for myself too. I will admit to it. Very wonderful. So I'm going to add the link in the description of this episode so you can go have a look at it. I just love working with her stuff because it really aligns with what I do, helping parents. So have a look. And again, before I get started, just want to tell you I do have a 150-pound puppy around me right now. So if you hear some weird noises, especially for those who are watching the audio, he's shaking right now. Just to let you know, 150-pound puppy, they pretty much go where they want to go. There's not much you can do about it. Right now, he's just right here looking for head scratches. So you may hear some growling. He's a good guard dog as well. So today, we are going to talk about how to handle, properly handle tantrums when your child throws tantrums in public using positive discipline. Now, this is the word that turns everybody off, and they'll actually turn off this episode. But bear with me for this because I will give you full disclosure. I did not believe in positive discipline or positive reinforcement, even when I became a mother. It was only when I started working in the field and I was coming in as a third party, an observer with other people's children, that I got to see the benefits of it. So you have to understand that we come from a background of generations of negative discipline. And people will get very hot about this, very heated about the fact that we are spoiling our children. Our children are soft. The new generations can't handle anything. And you got to understand that you need to take a step back and look carefully at the way that we were brought up and ask yourself, did negative reinforcement and negative discipline help us? If that was it for us, if it worked for our parents, if it worked for our grandparents, shouldn't we not have any problems anymore, right? So you have to understand the positive reinforcement. I've done some other episodes, so I'm going to redirect you to those as well. I will explain this briefly. I've done one on what to do when your child is hitting, another one with siblings that are constantly bickering, and another one with your child who refuses to do homework. This one is what happens when they're throwing tantrums in public. And now I'm not talking about the odd time where your child is hungry or tired or not feeling well, and they just have a meltdown right there. And I am certainly not talking about children that may have underlying challenges, such as autism or ADHD or any other form of it's just other challenges that are completely different. Tantrums and meltdowns are completely different. So I'm not referring to that. I'm just talking about a good old tantrum that's constantly happening. So Before I get into it, I just want to again outline positive reinforcement. I like to explain it as there's three steps to the positive reinforcement, and the first two are going to turn you off of it. You're like, this is ridiculous. This doesn't work. No, I'm going to do it the way it was done for me because that worked so well. So the first one is you're going to have to listen attentively. You need to figure out, you need to scope. So look at it as you're an investigator coming into a crime scene. Then you need to look at the bigger picture. What's happening? What's the setting here? What's really happening? And then you're going to have to take time to listen to your child because the reason you think this is happening is never going to be the real reason why it's happening. So you have to look at that, assess it first. The first step is you're going to have to listen attentively. The second step is you're going to have to validate your child's emotion. And this is where we lose everybody. Be like, yeah, that sounds great, but my child is rolling on the ground in the aisle five of the grocery store, and everybody's looking at me. That little shit is driving me up the walls. Okay, that's the first thing. We shut it all down, and we go to threats and embarrassing our child and grabbing them and leaving, or whatever we do. And the reason why it doesn't work for you is because you haven't taken the time to look at the third step. And the third step is, how are you reacting to the situation? That is right off the bat. That's what's going to set the tone for how the situation is going to play out before it even starts. It's going to set the tone for how the situation is going to play out. How are you reacting? How are you showing up to your child? If you are coming in hot and heavy, and your child is hot and heavy, and your child is learning from your actions, what's happening? What are you teaching your child? Right? You're teaching your child to behave exactly the way that you're behaving. And right now, you are behaving the way your child is behaving. So your child is having a tantrum because they're not getting the kind of cereal that they want. They're not getting the chocolate bar that they want. And you are having a tantrum because they're embarrassing you in public and they're a horrible child and they're out to get you and blah, blah. I can't stand it. And this isn't, you're impossible. You're having your tantrum. It's just an adult tantrum. We call it differently, right? So that's without that third step, it's not going to work for you. And you're just going to traumatize your child for the rest of their life. So that'll be a different episode. But so how are you showing up? How are you reacting with the situation? This is the first thing that's going to set the tone for you. I did have some notes on it just so that you understand the first thing. Okay, how are you showing up? You're gonna have to listen. That your child is not ready to listen if they're in a full-on tantrum. That part of their brain that can listen and hear you and process everything you say completely shut off. They're in the opposite side of the brain, handling their basic need. So they're not gonna want to talk. They're not gonna be able to express their emotions. So how are you supposed to do those two steps, right? How are you gonna stop them? And this is the first thing that you do. It works. I'm telling you, 20 years of experience with this. All right. Pause. That's it. People get very uncomfortable with a pause. And I'm going to show it to you right now. For those who are listening on an audio, it's going to get weird real quick. For those who are watching the video, it's going to get even weirder because I'm going to be staring at you through a camera. But I'm going to start with 5 seconds just to show you the power of a pause. So we're going to go with 5 seconds right now. All right, that air is absolutely horrible when you're recording stuff. That was 5 seconds. Now let's try 10 seconds. That was 10 seconds. Now you can go longer. People get very uncomfortable. Now, the wonderful thing about this too, your child is expecting you to react, right? You're not reacting, you're just staring at them. So they don't know what to do anymore. You're freaking them out. The best part of this happening in a public setting, your pause is making everybody else extremely uncomfortable. So they're not even judging you right now. They are also freaked out. They're just gonna walk away. They won't stare. They won't even stare at you. They're very uncomfortable. If you do this in the meeting and you don't just silence for 30 seconds, you're gonna see people shifting. Like, right, I'm a stimmer. I'm always fidgeting with stuff. So you're gonna see this, like the pens, for those who are watching the video. I'm always doing something with my pen in my hand. If not that, then I'm working with my AirPod case or my chargers, the whole thing. So people are gonna get very fidgety. They're gonna start looking at walls and looking at tables. So in a public setting, the pause is absolutely amazing. It freaks your kidney out, and that's not the point of the thing here, but it does get them to stop eventually. At first, they won't stop because they're in their feelings, but when they realize they're not getting a reaction from you and you're not yelling yet, they're gonna look over and see, and then they're gonna see that you're just staring at them. Stops everything, trust me. The other reason why the pause is great is it's giving you time to calm down. Remember when I said the third step is how are you reacting to the situation? This is your Zen time amidst the chaos and the public judgment and all of that. You can breathe and go, okay, I'm RoboCop, I'm the Terminator. What's going on? You're stopping, you're staring, you're not saying anything. You're assessing the situation. What's going on? What happened? And then you can start thinking, your child is throwing a tantrum. There's a hidden need there. Were they tired? Is this taking longer than it was supposed to? Are they hungry? Right? Are they hot? Where I live, it's cold all the time. So, they've been sitting in this thing for 20 minutes. They're hot. They're melting. Of course, they're going to have some reactions. We go through that too. So you can assess a little bit, and that's going to help you. And then you can tell them when they've calmed down, and you say, okay, this is not appropriate. This is not acceptable. It will never be acceptable. Right now, I'm really angry. I'm this very frustrated. I'm very upset, whatever emotion you want to identify. I'm going to need you to give me a minute to calm down, and then we're going to talk about this. Now, you may already be calm from the pause, but when you do that and you say, this is not appropriate, this is not acceptable, it will never be acceptable. But right now, I'm really upset about this. So you're gonna have to give me a minute to calm down, and then we'll talk about this. You're teaching your child how to identify an emotion and how to handle it in a healthy way. This is the power of the positive discipline. They're learning through your actions, not your words. You're telling them, you're using words, but you stopped. You paused. You didn't go into a tantrum with them. You stopped. You paused. And now you're telling them, I'm upset. I'm frustrated. I'm embarrassed because everybody's looking at us now. You need to give me a minute. Identify those negative emotions. Tell them you need to calm down before you can start addressing it. It gives them a reason to calm down. And then you're good to go. We can start talking. You may not be able to talk in that public setting, but it's definitely going to help you. So in a public outing, I can tell you in general, and again, I'm not talking about children that may have sensory issues or attention issues or any kind of social setting challenges. I'm talking about just a child who's having a moment, like we have our moments sometimes. A lot of the time is we got to understand outings are exhausting and they are frustrating. I am a bona fide introvert. May not seem like it when I present and when I work with people. I'm very bubbly and peppy and smiley and yee-hee, but honestly, I just want to go home and hide under my bed if I could. It's exhausting. It takes a lot of energy out of you. And a child who doesn't understand the social settings, they don't understand their emotions, their needs are not being met, it's even worse. So a lot of the time, the hidden need there, or the hidden emotion, is the fact that they are frustrated, they are overwhelmed, they are exhausted, they're tired, their social battery is at below zero. Okay. So keep that in mind when you're trying to identify the hidden emotion, because you're going to have to teach them how to handle that emotion. So what do you do? If it's possible, if you can, depending on your public setting, if you can, leave. Okay. Don't worry about what others are thinking. Don't worry about your grocery cart. Leave. You can always go. Having a full-on tantrum and you having a breakdown in public for 30 minutes is not helping you. Go home, come back another day. It's like I said, if it's possible, if it's an emergency, obviously you can't. But if you can, leave. Don't worry about what the others are saying. You need to focus on your child's need. If your child is having a tantrum in public, there's a need that's not being met. And remember when I said we're working on your child's needs? Your child is telling you, I don't want to be here right now. So get them out of there. Or nobody wants to be there. I get road rage in stores. So I want to get out of there. So leave. And if your child is doing this because they're not getting the toy that they want or the cereal, that's a good way of teaching them as well that this is not a, why would I reward you for behaving like this? No, let's go home, reset, and then show me that you can do it in the right way. It's the same with when children are constantly fighting. Let's say like they're fighting over the same toy all the time, right? It's okay, well, you guys, doesn't matter who started it, you guys obviously can't handle this. None of you can play with it until you figure out how to do this right. So that's how you do it. So leave and figure it out at home. What's going on? Most of the time it's because they're tired, they're hungry, they're hot, they're frustrated, they're overwhelmed. It was too much for them. It's too much for you, it's too much for them. If it's not possible for you to leave, then you need to kind of work at redirecting the attention. All right. The best thing is your child, before they have a tantrum, they will give you some nonverbal cues that it's about to happen. They'll start groaning. They'll start fidget. They might start throwing stuff. They might start tapping on the cart or whatever they are. Those are all cues that it's about to happen. You need to be tuned in on that to stop it before it happens. So redirect it, have them hold your grocery list, have them hold one of the boxes, keep them busy, give them a little task that they can help before they get to the tantrum. Once they're in tantrum mode, you can't negotiate with them, it's done. But before that, catch it, redirect it early, give them a responsibility. They're gonna love this, of course. This is for younger children. I don't know if you can still hear me because I think my headset, my earbuds just turned off, but hopefully you still can hear me. If this is a recurring thing, because this is something that you can do on the one-off when your child is having a rough day. If this is a recurrent thing, this happens every time, then you need to do one more step, and it's before you go. If you can, because not everybody has the setting where they can do this, they don't all have that luxury. But if they can, you talk to them before and say, okay, I'm going to the store. I'm going to get this. Are you up for it today? Be upfront with them. Hold them accountable for their decision. If you're a single parent or you can't, you have to leave. You have to take them with you. Then you say, okay, this is what's happening. We're going there to do this, this, and this. That's it. So I need you to help me. And you go and do this, this, and this. And that's it. And not like, oh, well, I'm going to stop. They said, oh, I'm going to stop 20 minutes to talk to my high school friend that I just ran into. None of that. You stick to the plan so your child can trust you. Those are the best thing to do. We're going there to buy this, this, and this. So it's not special cereal. It's not a special toy. Today it's this, this, and this. Another day we can go and have a look. Today it's this, this, and this. So you could kind of work that through. If you do this regularly, you're kind of training your child to understand what the expectations are. So that's what that would look like. It is a lot of work, but if you look, like I said earlier, you're taking 5 minutes to explain, you're taking 5 minutes to redirect, you're taking 5 minutes to tell them this is not acceptable, this is how you're supposed to handle it. A lot better than the 45 minutes at the store, plus the public humiliation, and then all the grunting that goes on in the car on the way home. And then you go home and you have to tell everybody what happened and how you were embarrassed. And then you're just like shrinking your child's self-esteem more and more and more. So it's going to happen again, of course. This is the way to get your attention. So that's how you would use it. If you want me to address more situations with more specific, because those are very broad. I can't go on forever with this. Let me know, write it in the comments. I could do lives as well, where it could be more interactive and we can really say, okay, in your situation, this, every child is different. Every situation is different. So we can't, there's no magic formula there. We got to do it. So let me know. I'd be more than happy to do this. I actually decided to try to talk, address the hard stuff as parents, because nobody wants to touch it. And I can tell you this, people get so uncomfortable if you come up to a teacher and say, okay, well, what do we do? My kid is constantly hitting the other kids in class. What do we do? And then nobody, or they'll come up with a plan, but they're not reinforcing it. So you're stuck as a parent. You don't want your child to act up. You don't want your child to have that reputation. So what are you supposed to do? They're driving you crazy. And then you're embarrassed because everybody else is judging you, and you know they're just judging you. So how do you do it? I'll help you with that. That's what I do. That's what we're supposed to do. So I'll leave you with that today. Don't forget to like, subscribe. All right.